Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the Green and Gold Talking Teams podcast for the upcoming round of Super Rugby. I'm the happy man, and joining me tonight is Sully. How are you going, Sully?
Going great, mate. Had a great weekend, as usual. Feeling great.
Yes, absolutely. Just the two of us tonight. So if we've got too much of a Queensland perspective, bad luck. That's the way we roll here. We're doing the best we can, and we've got as many people as we can along. I'm sure there'll be different guests coming in going forward. Carl's got to go and do some work this tonight, and unfortunately, work gets in the way of rugby yet again. You have to lift your game a bit, Carl. Right, we'll get stuck in, ladies and gentlemen. Again, bit of an outline of what we'll go through. We're going to go through what we really loved about rugby this week, what the teams for the week, and what grabbed their attention, and a bit of a shouting at the clouds moment, as old men like to do later in the pod. So, Sully, what was your favourite part of the week?
Mate, people will think I'm going to say the Reds win, but my favourite part of the week was the Concreter playing at reserve hooker for the Waratahs, coming in, Jay Fonokalafi coming in and scoring a ruck try at the death for the Waratahs. So I just thought it was brilliant. Like a guy who was, about 28, way past getting a look in most teams. But three hookers down at the Waratahs, and mate didn't look out of place. So they had a great game, I thought. Yeah, loved it.
Yeah, absolutely. He did, as you, to your point, he didn't look out of place. Great story. It's just what you really love about sports. Someone who's, comes a toiler who comes from the back, from playing top footy, just about to start his season, and gets a run. And to your point, playing against some pretty handy players in that Blues team, and got bags of try. How good! Loving it. My highlight for the week was the Lions sales for all the, fear and loathing and various things that are going on around the game at the moment. People who are take every opportunity to knock the game down. How good that we sold, Brisbane and Sydney are sold out in the Lions. There's only a few tests left for the MCG, which will be 100,000 people. And, for everyone who complained about the Lions tickets being expensive, and they're not cheap, the fact that they sold out in this period of time tells you that it's something that people want to go and see, and it's great that people want to engage. I'll be getting along myself, and it'll be something I'm going to look forward to for next year.
Yeah, we missed out this time, mate. But this would have been our third go at Lions Tour, and mate, it's a great night. Like the people from the UK come over and they just want to party and they sing. They don't realise Australians don't sing, but no, it's a great night out. Yeah, happy for you. We'll be watching it at home.
Well, my line story is last tour I was at dinner with some friends before the game, and there were some Poms across the way from us, and I sent them a shot. I knew the restaurateur quite well, and I sent them a shot of something green and gold, just lay it, and the guy, shot at the shot. It was just good gas, and the guy really enjoyed it, and we had a great time. It was just really good. They're great fans. It's something you really want to get along with. Okay, let's move on, shall we? We'll get into the games. We've got the six games, of course, this week to get through. The first game is Canes v the Rebels. Canes undefeated. Rebels had a tough loss and probably got a bit flogged last week against the Reds. The Canes just got up over the Crusaders, also winless at Crusaders. This one's going to be held at Palmerston North. The Canes have made a steady 13 changes for the game, so we won't go through all their outs, but they're in notable zings. TJ Perenara starts. Brad Shield comes back from playing for England, and he starts at blindside. We've got Ngani Paniavi is going to make his debut. Halfback Richard Judd and first five Aidan Morgan are also out back outside backs. For the Rebels, Isaac Kalea starts for the first time. He's a handy player and worth the watch. Sam Talakai switches around with the unfit Taniela Tupou. Angelo Smith starts in the second row. Again, he's a good player, worth watch. If you see his try in the QPR final last year, it was an absolute cracker. Josh Gannon's going to switch into the bench. Tuilima starts at blindside because they've lost Josh Kemeny to injury. And Lucas Ripley starts at outside centre for Filippo Dangunu. Sally, what do you think?
It's a hard one to pick, mate. Like 13 changes to the Hurricane starting lineup. And Rebels coming off a horror loss to the Reds last weekend. Their morale must be slipping a bit down there, I think. TJ Perenara is such a competitor that you just can't. Even without Cam Roygaard, who's been like super hot, Perenara has just got that much that rugby brain that sees things that other people just don't see, doesn't he? But the Rebels are a chance here if they catch the Hurricanes in the right mood. But I can't go past the Hurricanes. I'm going to go Hurricanes by 14.
Look, this honestly, for mine, it will go one of two ways. It'll either be close because I think the Rebels are a good enough team to win this game, or given all the stuff that's happening in the background, they could just bag it completely and cop another flogging. I hope they don't, and I'm actually going to tip that they won't. For mine, I think the Canes are rotating a lot of players just because they've had a very good start of the year, but they've also had four very tough games. They've travelled all the way to Perth, and then they've played Melbourne, they've played it in Sydney, and then they've gone to Christchurch. So done a lot of travel. They want to rest some bodies. It'll really test the depth of their squad. But I think it's going to be tight. I'm going to go with Canes by three for mine.
Oh, you know, I think it's going to be tight.
Yeah, I do. I just don't see them kicking away. And they don't, apart from that first game, they've had very, very close games. So yeah, that's where I'm at. Brumbies versus Moana is at GIO Stadium in Canberra. The Brumbies, Harry Vela's been called in to start for Blake Shopp, who I believe is injured. Darcy Swain's the start and is captain with Nick Frost on the bench. Charlie Gale returns from injury at number eight. Valentini shifts to the blind side. Hooper's on the bench. Harrison Goddard starting at nine with Ryan Lonergan on the bench, so they've had a bit of a rotation there. Lenny Nkatia sees Hudson Crichton started outside centre. Hudson Crichton can play. He's a good player, Hudson Crichton. Ollie Sapsford comes into the wing for Andy Muirhead, who I believe has got a knee problem. The Brumbies are certainly looking to finish strong with Lonergan, Slipper, Rhys van Nekhout, and Nick Frost, Tom Hooper, Luke Reimer, Ryan Lonergan, and Declan Meredith off the bench. That's a strong bench in any competition. So they're looking to finish out the game pretty strong. For Moana, we've got D'Angelo Leilua and Papisana Patafilo will come into the midfield. Sam Molly and Sione Mafili will start, are named to start in the props and in the front row, sorry. Christian Lilifano will return to Canberra. And yeah, I think this will be a fairly simple win for the Brumbies. I think they'll kick away. And I don't think the Moana will have an opportunity to play their game. What are your thoughts, Sally?
Yeah, I think the Brumbies are going to try and slow Moana down a bit and go set piece to set piece. I think Moana have had the Pacifica have had the opposite idea and want to run. That's why they've brought in Molly and Mafili, who are a bit more mobile around the park, to just run the Brumbies off the feet. But I don't think it's going to work. I think the Brumbies have actually just been like they're three from four without making any fuss. Like they've just quietly run along and done their business. So they've had just as many wins as the Reds, who everyone's raving over, but without the two bonus points that the Reds have picked up along the way.
Yeah, 100%.
So Brumbies by about 10, unless they run over the top of them in the final quarter with that bench, where it could be a lot.
Yeah. No, 100%. Funnily enough, the Brumbies actually have a bigger travel commitment than the Moana this game, because Moana played in Perth and the Brumbies played in Dunedin, which takes a bit of getting to and from, I believe. Saturday game in about a lunchtime game. We've got the Drua versus the Tars. It's part of the double header. The Fijiana are also playing the Tars up in Churchill Park in Latoka. The Drua have Tevita Inkanviri in at hooker. Masaka Doge is at tight head. Taniela Arikuru is on the left wing. Come the changes for the Tars. Angus Bell's rotating in and out of the starting lineup, which I really like to see. Not putting too many minutes into him. Mahe Vaalanu comes back at hooker, which is fantastic news for the Tars. Max Jorgensen returns from injury, as does Marky Mark, who's moving to the right wing. The Tars are gone with a 6-2 bench. Julian Heaven, Hayden Thompson-Stringer, Tom Ross, Moles, Amatoriso, Hugh Sinclair, Lachie Swinton, Jack Grant, and Tristan Riley. What are you thinking, Sully?
It's a tough one, isn't it, mate? I think the Tars are going to try and slow down the Drua a bit and shut down their offload game. But with that, this is a much stronger team than what they ran out last week with Vaiolanu back in and Jorgensen back in. Although, has Jorgensen played much fullback?
Yeah, he's played a bit last year. He was that's sort of where he came in. He's with his balance and his ability, you'd think fullback, he'd cover that quite nicely.
Yeah, I think they're better in the tight five and they're better in the back three. As if they can control the game, it's theirs, mate. Waratahs should take this up by, I don't know, three scores, 15 to 20 points.
Sorry, so you're going
Waratahs.
for the task by 15. That's bold.
I'm brave, mate.
That is very bold. That is so bold. Oh, look, it's going like, ooh, that's very bold. I've got the draw by five in this. I just think they're a different team when they're playing at home. The crowd's nuts. They really get behind their team. The heat of the day. I just think they'll have too much gas. And as much as it hurts me to say, I'd like to see the Tars get a win, just to keep Darren Coleman going, because I think as I said before, I think he's a good coach, who deserves every bit of run that he gets out of it. And any talk that he should be on the chopping block is way premature in my view. But yeah, I'll take the drawer in this, but hey, I hope you're right. It'll
No
make
one
for an
ever said I
interesting
was good
thing.
at tipping rugby.
Yeah, that's bold. We might have to hold you accountable for that one next week. See how it looks. Okay, on Saturday, also afternoon game, we've got the Chiefs v the Highlanders. This is in Hamilton, so up in Chiefs minor country. We've got Ramiki Pohipi, I definitely got that wrong, is in for enter Leonard Brown, who's unavailable after getting sparkled last week. The Jared Prophet returns from a concussion also. Josh Law and Quinton Tupaia returning from the bench. And Moni Ngarawa returns from the bench after a long-term injury. For the Highlanders, Rhys Patchell returns to 10. Mystified me last week why they didn't have him playing. Didn't get it, but anyway. Chernonarikhi replaces Martin Barago on the wing. Ethan de Groot is out with concussion protocols. That is a big loss for them. Aidan Johnson at loose head with Daniel Lennart-Brown moving to the bench. Paddy Parkinson returns to the row, and Sean Withey comes into the back row. What are you thinking, Sully?
I'm thinking this is going to be a great game.
Agreed.
Oh, mate. Chiefs. I'm going to say the Chiefs. I don't know why I'm saying the Chiefs, but I think the Chiefs
By
will win this.
35, or based
Sorry?
on the last thing, choose by 35, or
Well, let's say, yeah, 35 sounds
yeah.
good. No, I think if no, I'm going to go with the Chief. I think the only team that's had anything like keeping Damian McKenzie under control so far this year has been the Reds. No one else has seemed to manage to do it, and they just look too good across the back. Right, Sean Stevenson's on fire. No, Chiefs. Chiefs definitely, mate.
Yeah, fair call. I think the Chiefs will certainly win this one by 10-ish. The loss of Ethan de Groot will really hurt them.
Yeah, it will.
The Highlanders, he's a good player. Born and raised on the Gold Coast, for those who have interest. And the Chiefs will just have too much grunt going around up front. I just think it'll be a good game, but I don't think it'll be that tight. I think the Chiefs will do it winning, going away.
Yeah, he wasn't good enough to be in a Wallaby, was he? He was only good enough to be an All Black.
Yeah, let's not go with that. I think I wouldn't mind him sitting in gold, but no, he went back when he was 15 or 16 or something like that. So there you go.
Him and Paul Wylie was another Australian eligible, wasn't he?
Yeah, look, you know, you can get too hooked up on it, but there's a lot who've jumped across and back.
Yeah.
I did read somewhere today someone was bemoaning the lack of Australian props running around, and you go, if you actually look at it, there's two playing for Ireland, there's one playing for Scotland. Lomax was born and raised, well, born and raised in Australia. De Groot, born and raised in Australia. Aidan Ross has started off on the Gold Coast from the Chiefs. So there's all these, you know, there's probably 10 guys. It's just the economics of it means that people go away for different opportunities, and good luck to them.
Yeah.
Okay, let's hit up. This would have been top of the table last year. Blues and the Crusaders at Eden Park. It would have been just everything. There'll be plenty of rampant Blues fans will turn up because the Crusaders are in a bit of trouble. For the Blues, Patrick Tupilotu returns back after dislocating his jaw pre-season. Doesn't that sound like fun? Ricky Riccitelli, Angus Tarvale are also playing in the front row. AJ Lamb starts for Riki Ioane, who got Sparko'd last week. And for the Crusaders, Jamie Hannah comes in at 5. Owen Frank's got a slap on the wrist for trying to decapitate someone last week. And that's about where we're at. Your thoughts, Sully? Where are you going with this one?
Oh, look, remember I used to say it's the Crusaders, and you can't not back them. Well, I'm at the stage where you can not back them. I think both teams are pretty settled. Like, it's only a couple of changes for the Crusaders, and the Crusade changes for the Blues are all positive. Maybe I know some people don't like Rico Ioane, but AJ Lamb is pretty handy outside centre. So,
He certainly is.
I'm going to go with the Blues, mate. I think they're too settled. They're not going 100%, but they are definitely going better than the Crusaders. So, Blues by 10.
Look, I agree with you. I think the Satyrs were, they've fought hard in all the games so far. I saw a tile this week where the Satyrs, of the 15 who started in the final last year, two started in their last game.
Yeah.
Everyone's either injured or left. And between that and the fact that change of coach and change of assistant coaches, they're lacking the one thing they've kept going for 10 years, really for 20 years, is that consistency of selection and just pathway and all that. They've had a major
And
inflection in their organization.
they've lost all their combinations that they've built years
Yeah.
putting
Yeah,
together.
their IP is just scattered at the moment. So for mine, I think the Blues by 10 as well. I just don't see the Crusaders winning this game, and they'll be 0-5 for the first time since, well, forever really. So unbelievable.
They'll be feeling some pressure down there.
I'd be terrible for them. And it just goes to show, one of my favorite coaches that I listen to is Mike Tomlin, who's at the Pittsburgh Steelers in the NFL, and he says that his job as a coach is to make his supporters fat and lazy. And I think that's pretty much what the Crusaders have done over the last 15 years for their supporters. It's just that supporters have got to cop it now, instead of have to live with not having a 90% success rate, which is great for the comp. Last game for the round is the Force v the Reds. This is obviously a game I'll be watching with hot, deep intent. It's in Perth. It's for the Force. You've got Nick White coming back off the bench to start. Sam Spink returning from injury. Bailey Kunzel was moving to the right wing. Harry Potter, the fullback, and Max Beery is going into the bench. Pardon me. For the Reds, Hunter Paisami returns after a concussion. And Isaac Henry, unfortunately, did his patella tendon last week, which is a 9-month injury, I believe. So that's him done for the season, which is just a shame for the guy. Tom Lynott rotates with Harry McLaughlin Phillips on the bench. I think I know where you're going, Sally.
I'm worried about this game. I think the Reds will win, but the Reds have done a fair. I mean, they've been to Melbourne twice. They're just back from Melbourne. They're going across to the Western Force over to Perth, and have played the Chiefs and the Hurricanes, as well as playing the Waratahs, which is always an emotional week for the Reds. So, I'm worried that they're starting to get a bit weary. But Hunter Paisami, for Isaac Henry. Henry was going so well. I think that's nearly a like for like change. As much as Harry McLaughlin Phillips is a talent, I think at this stage Tom Lynott is a step up from him. And that's just an age thing, I think. Harry McLaughlin Phillips is going to be sensational, I think. I think the Reds have had trouble with the Force before, but I don't think they're going to have trouble with them this weekend. I'm hoping they don't have trouble. I think they can put 25 on them. But on the other hand, it could be within five if the Force come to play.
I'd really like the Force. I always have. Basically, a few years after their inception, they're really doing a lot of really good things over there. They're in the same boat as the Crusaders in that they're paying the injury gods at the moment. They've down to fourth and fifth choice, props and all these sorts of things. Whereas at the moment, you'd have to suggest the Reds are a little bit embarrassed with some riches. Their bench is strong. They've got guys who are outside the 23. You'd argue if Henry hadn't got hurt, Hunter Paisami wouldn't be in the 23 this week. He's just been that good. He literally taken his spot. So the Force are in a spot where they're trying to patch everything up, and that just gets into this declining return. The Reds, if you look at the Reds, we've got that Alec Hodgman. He's out with an injury. We've got James O'Connor still coming back. So there's some really good players who are sitting outside the 23 who aren't getting a game at the moment. So for mine, Connor Vest, who was a fixture last year, he's not getting a go. There's a lot of good, handy players who just aren't in the 23, which is the real sign when you're starting to make a push. I think it's the Force will slow down, the Reds break down much more than the Rebels did last week.
Yes, I will.
And if they can slow that breakdown down, which I think they will, I think the Reds will get away by 10 points and that'll be about it.
I think the thing I like about the Reds so far this year is they've basically stuck their two, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine have virtually been the same every game. I think they have been the same every game, and
Yeah,
it's
they
that
have been.
continuity. And Josh Fluke, I think, is probably the other one that's played. I think he's played every game, so that continuity is just it just helps so much. But yeah, this is a hard one to pick in terms of I think we both agree Reds would win, but by how much is the thing.
And from my perspective as well, I think the you can't underestimate how well the combination is, but how well Liam Wright's playing. He's calling the lineouts. They've got a really highly successful lineout. He's recalling into space rather than just sticking with a bad call. I had a look at the stats earlier this week with respect to the Reds lineout, or with respect to the lineout takes, and there's three Reds players in the top 10, so they're not just going to one player. If you look at the Brumbies, Nick Frost gets half the lineout catches, and everyone else gets bits and bobs. The Reds are pretty even across Sarah Uru, Nick White, and Ryan Smith. So that's a very good sign. It
I'll have to look
makes it
up the
pretty hard to defend.
Reds lineout stat because they've won a lot of their own lineouts. It's
They're
a
topping. They're second top of the chart at the moment. They're running just about 90% of lineout wins off
Yeah.
throw, which, if you do that, it makes the starter play so much easier. And conversely, that's one of the things the Satyrs have always been able to go back to, is their set piece. The game gets out of control, they go to set piece. Their lineout's running like 10th in the comp at the moment, so they don't even have that comfort blanket to go to of
Yep.
throwing the ball to Sam Whitelock.
Well, if Nick White coming back is going to help the Force. Sam Spinks is probably their last best player last year, so having him back is going to help them as well. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens this week. I was unimpressed by Isaac Fiennes-Lelawasa last week. I remember him being better than what I saw on the weekend. It was I hope his form comes back up, tell you the truth. I thought he was pushing Wallaby squads there at one stage, and he didn't look up to that standard last weekend.
Fair point. Fair point. I just wonder whether with Nick White and squad, they're sort of playing, a bit French, playing off nine, and that's not really Fiennes' game. He's more of a darting type of nine,
Yeah.
whereas Nick White's the kicker distributor type of nine. So maybe their styles just aren't quite working at the moment. Yeah. Anyway, let's touch on the women's games for the weekend, Sully. We won't go through the ins and outs, but we've got the Drua playing the Tars. That's part of a double header up in Latoka.
Well, that sounds
The
interesting.
yeah, how good. The Drua haven't named their team yet. Obviously, we know the quality that's in the New South Wales Waratahs women's team. Drua are three-time champions, but and we're pretty good in their win against Queensland last week. The Tars demolished the Brumbies. What are your th any thoughts, Sally?
To me, I'm going to go with the Waratahs, I think. Again, what did I say? 25? Yeah, no, maybe not for this game. I didn't catch the Waratahs last weekend. I only caught the mini game for the Reds and the Indra. So, mate, I'm just going to go on reputation and say Waratahs. I couldn't tell you how.
Look, it'll be a tough game. I'm with you. I think the Tars will win. The Fijians were a big team, but They don't look terrifically fit to me, and the
Ah.
Waratahs women execute very well. So I just think this will be a case of the Waratahs will actually want to play faster than the Drua, and I think they'll just have too much skill for them.
No, I picked it up against the Reds last week that they didn't look full of running.
Yes,
Yeah.
but yeah, they certainly had the horse bearing contact. The
Yes, they did. Yeah.
Reds girls didn't look they didn't look in the same age as the Fijian girls in terms of size and muscularity. The second game, Western Force v Queensland, that's also a double header over in Perth. Force had a good win against the Rebels last week, and the Reds had the loss against the Fijians. Sully, I think I probably know you're going to go hard overhead with this one, or?
Yes, mate, I'm going for the Reds. Yes, again, I don't know. I still haven't caught up with the Western Force women playing. It's just too much to watch at the moment. But I'm going hard overhead. Yes, I'm going with the Reds.
Yeah, I'm actually going to pick against the Reds in this game, so note that down in your calendar.
How very dare you!
But the Force women look very good. I like to use the eye test. The Force women look very good, very sharp. They've obviously got a good program going on over there, and they were good value last week. They certainly put it. They were just more organized than the Rebels women last week. So for mine, they were good value for the win, and I think they'll beat the Reds this week. I just don't think the Reds have got enough in them at the moment. To me, they look a little bit light in the pack. They've had a few people move around, and when Liz Patu, who is a very good player, is coming off the bench, having had a year off, I think that doesn't speak tremendously well to your depth.
Yeah.
So for mine, I think the Force will do it. I feel dirty saying that.
Well, mate,
The last
you're coming from a situation of some knowledge where I'm just winging
mate, my knowledge is parlous at best.
it.
The last game, we've got the Brumbies women versus the Rebels. The Brumbies women lost to New South Wales last week. The Rebels women lost to the Force. Bit hard to gauge. It is in Canberra, but I'm going to go for the Rebels women here. I just think they looked like they had a bit more upside in them. It was their very first game together, basically whole new squad. So for mine, I'll give the Rebels women a crack. 5 to 10 points. It'll still be fairly close, but that's where I'm going. Sully?
Right, you need to leave me out of this one completely. I only make a fool of myself. More of a fool of myself
Mate.
than normal.
Not something any of us need to worry about.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to just, I'll quickly touch on the ladder at the moment, ladies and gents. We've got Hurricanes are sitting on top. They're 4-0, only undefeated team. The Reds, Chiefs, and Blues are the next at three. Reds, Chiefs, Blues, Brumbies are all 3-1. Teams on 2-2 are the Highlanders, Rebels, Moana, and the Tars, and Fiji are 1-3. And the bottom of the table are the Crusaders and the Force at 0-4. One of the things I like to look at after you get a few games in, when it starts to get a bit even out, you start to see where teams actually sit in terms of how they're performing as their points differential. The top three teams, being Hurricanes, Reds, and Chiefs, are all sitting around about plus 50. Then you drop down the blue in the next group down of the 3-1 teams. You're looking at the, oh, sorry, the, yeah, yeah, sorry, the next level down, you're looking at the Blues at plus 26. then you've got 2-3-1 teams with plus 2 points. So it just goes to show that they've gotten there, but not by a great deal. So there you go. What are we going to talk about now? What do we got? Oh, yes.
The Reds have actually scored more points than anyone. I think they're up around 150 points for their four games.
Yep.
But they've
Yeah.
also, out of the top four teams, I think they've also got the highest against as well. So
They
that's
do.
4 points through. So,
Yeah. Defenses could be a bit of an issue.
yes, it could be going forward. Yeah.
So before we get close out, what's your shouting at clouds? I've been shouting at clouds moment. Sully?
Mate, I had a shouting at clouds moment during the week. Was in the Green and Gold Rugby forums in one of the match threads, and well, it was the Reds Rebels match thread. So it was an 8-try to 4-try win for the Reds, and one of the Rebel supporters came on and offered his critique at why the Rebels had lost, and the first line was a crack at the ref. Now, I know it's common practice to have a go at the ref, but in this case, it was a thing about Nick Berry being an ex-Reds player, and a lot of Reds supporters don't like Nick Berry refereeing their games because they think he goes too far the other way and supports the other team too much. Now, I used to agree with that, and in the last couple of years, I think he's got a lot better as a referee, his style. And I don't think he favors one team over the other anymore. So I think it's just for me, I'm so sick of hearing how the ref changed the outcome of games. It's not a perfect games. We're not perfect players, we're not perfect supporters, and we're not perfect referees. So just get over it and just critique your players. It wasn't the ref's fault. Get over it. That's my shouting at crowds for this week,
Yeah,
mate.
100%. 100%. I'm I 100% agree with you. Sometimes though, I must confess, I do shout at the ref. Can't help it. I don't think any of us can.
Oh, mate, I mean, everyone shouts at the ref, but they don't have to then put it into the internet.
The biggest thing for mine with that is I think the TMO has actually made that sort of thing worse. You get you're trying to make the imperfect perfect, and it just doesn't work like that. It's not life. If the ref didn't make a mistake, if the players didn't make a mistake, there'd be no knock-on, so there'd be no scrums, nothing like that. So everyone's making some. It's just always going to depend on your point of view. A lot of the time, it's just worth stopping, re-looking at the game, and afterwards, and going, actually, no, he was pretty right, or he was dead set wrong on that one. So, yeah. My shouting at clouds would be the judiciary. It's doing my head in. I need to find something else to look at because I'm still trying to wrap my head around how Owen Franks gets 2 weeks for his clean out at the end of the game, where other guys have gotten more, and how he's given that he's got a record. Has been sent off before, and it wasn't for the eye gouging Kane Douglas that I put in the chat, but it was he got sent off about a few years ago for headshotting someone. How he's managed to get the week off, gets a 4 week entry point for that, which gives him two. With the week of going to school, he could miss a week. It makes zero sense to me. When you've got the Western Force prop who in week one gets 4 weeks for what was a pretty passive tackle where he just got caught in the wrong position. Yeah, that's my thing. It just does my head in. I can't get my head around it.
Noticed Geordie Barrett's back this week, but I also noticed that Jordan Bataia, who Geordie Barrett got suspended for, is still dealing with HIA issues. I don't know if it's been re-hit or it's the same thing, but so Geordie Barrett's back, but Geordie Bataia is still out. So doesn't
Yeah.
seem fair.
Look, I think, yeah, I don't think you can go cause and causation on that, because then you get in the rabbit hole that some of our New Zealand brethren go with. Darcy Swain should be out for 9 months after doing Quinton Tupou's knee.
Yeah.
So it's, but I will say this about the Geordie Barrett hit: he didn't miss him. If you look at the stand cut of that from one angle, he didn't miss him. He didn't drop. He was just going for the head the whole time. But that's footy. That's what happens. Look, just a quick shout out again. I would like to make a quick shout out after for people. Start of the year, become a member of your local club, become a member of your super club, become a member of both. Doesn't cost a lot of money. It's how you support the game. We're all supporters of the game. We all love the game. If you want to get out amongst it, get out and see your club. But if you've got a local club, go and become a social member. It might cost you 20 or 50 bucks, and it goes a long way. I know every local club struggles for money. And if you go out and become a member, you're helping grassroots. Exactly. So that would be my little shout out for the day.
Sounds good to
What do you
me.
think, Simon?
Yep, no, can't agree more.
Okay. Well, that brings us to the end of this week's little potty, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you're having a great time. Hope you're enjoying it. If you do like it, subscribe, do all those things. It helps us with our bits and pieces on the internet, get further up everyone's listing, because we're actually quite enjoying this. And if you see it on the website tomorrow when we put it up, feel free to make a comment. Tell us how we can improve. Don't bag us too much, but tell us how we can improve. Tell us anything you want us to add into the pod, or anything you want us to take away. See you next week, Sally.
See you, mate.